and welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm your host, Justine Ward, and each week we bring you a classic show from radio's golden age. This week we have a comedy series from the late 1940s that was syndicated for about 2 years. The Smiths of Hollywood was a sitcom about an ordinary family, a husband, wife, an English uncle played by Arthur Treacher, and their daughter. And since they live in Hollywood, there were often movie star guests. The two episodes we chose for this week guest star William Holden and Ann Sheridan. The show was syndicated and each station put in its own commercials, so all we hear is a music cue. In this episode, Nancy Smith, played by Brenda Marshall, gets in a car accident with guest star William Holden. And to compound the farce, she tries to keep it from her husband Bill, played by Harry Von Zell. Enjoy The Smiths of Hollywood, first broadcast April 11th, 1947, on WOR in New York.
From Hollywood, California, we bring you The Smiths of Hollywood. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Greetings from The Smiths. Portrayed, as usual, by people like Jan Ford as daughter Bumps.
Mom, do all married people quarrel?
Brenda Marshall as Nancy Smith.
Of course not, dear. Some couples just quit speaking to each other.
Harry Von Zell as Bill Smith.
Well, you never know. Marriage is a lottery, with everyone playing to win.
Yes, marriage is a lottery, William. But unfortunately, you can't tear up the ticket if you lose.
And that was Arthur Treacher as Uncle Cecil from England. And, as if that weren't enough to further clutter up our story tonight, we have Paramount's handsome leading man, William Holden, who will play his most difficult role, William Holden. So, fasten your safety belts and stick with us for a different half hour of radio, as introduced by the music of Charles Hathaway. But first, a word from our sponsor. It's too late to escape now. Here they are, the Smiths of Hollywood. Meet, first of all, Nancy Smith.
Hi, everybody. Remember that saying, "Oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive"? Well, yesterday I really wove myself a net. And none of it was really my fault. I was driving down Hollywood Boulevard yesterday when... It really wasn't my fault. The man who bumped into me, William Holden, you know, the movie star, said that it wasn't my fault. But my husband says I'm Hollywood's worst fender bender, and I knew he wouldn't believe me. So I took the car to a garage and left it to be fixed without letting my husband know about it. Well, what a mess that started, brother. Normally, if I want the car, Bill's glad to take a bus to work. But never depend on a husband for the expected.
Nancy, have you seen the car keys?
The car keys? Did you say the car keys, dear?
That's what I like about this house. It has a built-in echo. Yes. That's what I said, the car keys.
Oh, the car keys. No, I haven't seen the car keys.
You haven't? Well, they're probably in the car.
No, I'm sure they're not in the car, darling. Don't be ridiculous.
What is ridiculous about the car keys being in the car?
Well, it's just ridiculous, that's all. Anyway, you shouldn't have to walk clear out to the garage just because I can't remember where I put the car keys.
Nancy Smith, did you lose the car keys?
Well, of course I didn't lose them. They're probably in the car. I'll go look.
Well, you don't need to. After all, I'm the one who needs the car keys, and I can go...
Car keys, car keys. Do you have to keep on saying car keys? Honest to heaven, you'll drive me mad.
Nancy, what on earth is the matter with you this morning? You're acting just like you did 3 months before Bumps was born.
And you're acting just like you did after Bumps was born.
Oh, I... Darling, are you trying to tell me something?
Oh, well, what could I possibly be trying to tell you?
Well?
I just don't want to talk about car keys. It doesn't mean I'm going to have a baby just because I don't want to talk about car keys.
All right, all right. I won't mention car keys.
Bill!
Nancy, dear, listen. On a little metal ring is a little metal object which fits the ignition lock on the dashboard of the you-know-what. Now, do you know where the little metal ring with the little metal object is?
Bill, why don't you walk to the office today?
Walk?
Well, of course, you'd have to stand up to do it.
Well, Nancy, I know how to walk.
Well, it'll do you good. You know, it'll take off some of that weight.
Oh.
Well, look, under your chin.
I can't see you. Well, there's nothing under my chin.
There is, too. And your stomach. Look at your stomach. And, Bill, you sit too much.
Now, Nancy, that's hitting below the belt.
Well, as a matter of fact, darling, I meant to ask if I could have the car today.
Oh, now I'm beginning to see through this conversational smog.
I don't see what's so unreasonable about me having the car for a change.
Who said anything about it being unreasonable?
Honestly, you think I ask for the car every day.
Nancy, dear, listen, ordinarily you can have the car any time you want it, but today I have to drive out to Pasadena.
What if I have to go to Glendale?
Well, I... Why do you have to go to Glendale?
Well, who said I was going to Glendale?
You did. Didn't you? I give up. I don't know.
Well, anyhow, it isn't as if I went to Glendale every day.
Well, Gabriel's teeth, Nancy. Go to Glendale. Take the car. I'm licked. I'm licked.
Oh, Bill, you're so understanding.
Yeah.
I got lipstick on you.
Mm-hmm. Women, I'll never understand it. Now, how do I get to Pasadena? Have to get the Los Angeles map out of the car.
Bill, if you mention car once more, I'm going to scream.
Nancy, you know, there's something about you I adore.
What is it, darling?
Maybe you can tell me. I don't know. Can't understand any part of it. Why are you going to Glendale?
Stop harping on Glendale. I didn't ask you why you were going to Pasadena.
Okay. If you want to have secrets, I won't mention the subject again. You going to take Bumps to Glendale?
Did you call me, Pop?
I was talking to your mother. Nancy, I asked you a question.
I heard you.
Well, are you going to take Bumps?
No, I'm not going to take Bumps. Bill, we're not getting anything settled this way. Hadn't you better get started?
Oh, all right.
Don't mind me. Finish your quarrel. Who's taking me where?
Bumps, listen, after what I've just gone through, I advise you not to ask any questions.
Yes, darling, there are a lot of things you'll never understand till you're married.
You said it. Even then, there are a lot of things you'll never understand. If I recall, this whole business started over some car keys.
Ow!
Little metal objects. Oh, well, I guess no marriage is perfect. Goodbye, Mrs. Smith. Maybe I'll stay in Pasadena. Would serve you right.
Well, I'll walk to the bus stop with you, Mr. Smith. Bumps, you can get breakfast for Uncle Cecil this morning. You might as well start learning now.
Child, what on earth are you doing with those eggs?
Huh? Oh, poaching them. I'm sorry, I was thinking about your boars.
You're not supposed to poach eggs in the coffee pot. Now, look, the toast is on fire. Where's your mind, child?
Uncle Cecil, if they break up, what would become of me?
Are you talking about the eggs?
It just proves you can never tell. They seem so happy with each other.
How can an egg be happy with another egg?
I suppose if they get a divorce, I'll get dragged through the papers.
What are you talking about?
Mom and Pop. You missed a scene at breakfast.
What scene?
I guess in the settlement, Mom's getting the car. Neither of them seem to want me very much.
Child, you're driveling. Tend to your toast. Are you trying to heat the house with that bread?
divorce isn't funny, and you know who it hurts the most? The child.
Yes, you've been seeing too many bad movies. Your parents are perfectly happy together.
Oh, you don't know Hollywood. I've seen this happen in lots of homes. You know Jimmy, for instance.
You mean that vile little monster who rides a bicycle?
Oh, but don't blame Jimmy. He's a product of a divorced family. He's had four fathers already.
Oh, really? So that's how you Americans get those four fathers you're always boasting about. I say, did you hear that? That was rather good, Watts.
Four daddies already. And now his mother's on the prowl again.
On the prowl again? Well, what we need is a Margaret Sanger to teach parent control. Bumps, whatever put this foolish notion in your head?
It's not a foolish notion, Uncle Cecil. When they left this morning, they were hardly speaking. Mom even screamed. And Daddy said something about moving to Pasadena. I suppose he'll sell the house.
Sell the house? Child, are you sure? Why, this might be a real tragedy.
Well, that's what I've been trying to tell you. And you know who suffers in the divorce.
Yes, a real tragedy. If they break up and sell the house, child, think what will become of me.
Uncle Cecil, you and I will make out somehow.
Are you suggesting I will be left to take care of you? Ooh, what an utterly dreadful idea.
But Uncle Cecil, honest.
I don't care to discuss it. I'd even rather hear the wireless than any more of your nonsense.
Uncle Cecil, you can't escape your problems by running away.
Quiet, child.
As predicted by your favorite radio columnist 5 years ago, Lassie will not have her fur dyed for the new Technicolor picture, The Bark of Triumph. And now for my award of the week. This week, my award goes to myself for fearlessly exposing the fact that there is a hotbed of Republicans right here in Hollywood. And now, exclusive gossip of the stars. It's a quiet week in Hollywood. Only 25 divorces. Cynthia Glamour and her husband, Mr. Cynthia Glamour, after 47 years of marriage, have decided to call it quits. As this reporter has been telling you, it's the old story, marriage versus career. It just couldn't last. I'll be back with another exclusive story after a word from our sponsor.
Program, nothing but divorces.
But Uncle Cecil, you shouldn't have turned off the radio. Maybe he was going to mention Mom and Pa.
You really have a warped little mind, haven't you? I tell you, your parents are perfectly happy together. Why, what would become of me? I tell you, they're happy. They've got to be.
I had no idea of what was going on in Bumps' mind. I was too worried about how to keep Bill from finding out about the car. And after the way I bungled things at breakfast, it was too late to admit the truth. So I decided to telephone Bill Holden and ask him if he'd come over and explain to my husband that it really wasn't my fault. What a mistake that was.
Mom, I want to talk to you.
Just a moment, darling. I'm on the phone. Did you get enough breakfast, Uncle Cecil?
Oh, yes, if you can call charcoal breakfast.
Mom, could I speak to you?
I'm phoning, Bumps. Hello? Is Mr. William Holden there? Oh, I didn't recognize your voice. This is Nancy Smith. Yes, that's what I was calling about. I just didn't have the courage to tell Bill. Oh, he'd blame me for the whole thing. I just can't hide it from him any longer. Hmm? Oh, no, he doesn't suspect a thing so far.
There, Uncle Cecil. Now do you believe me?
He's bound to find out sooner or later, and you know how husbands are about these things.
You see, the child is right. Where are you going, Bumps?
Oh, it doesn't matter, does it? Nothing matters now.
Well, I was wondering if you could come over and tell him how it all happened. I suppose it is cowardly of me.
Wait, child, I'll go with you. I hope you're not considering anything rash.
They seem like such happy parents. Now I suppose I'll grow up twisted.
Yeah. What duplicity, pretending to be happy. I say, child, where are you going at such a clip?
I'm going to talk to Mr. Holden. He ought to be ashamed of himself. I'll bet his wife, Brenda Marshall, doesn't know anything about this.
Oh, dear, oh, dear. I don't know about you, dear, but I'm going off to by myself and think.
Think, huh? If I need you, I'll call you at the Rosebud Bar and Grill.
Ooh, what a vile child. Oh, I pity the man who marries you.
Oh, hello there. Little girl, what can I do for you?
I am here to have a confidential talk with Mr. Holden. Is he here?
Well, I'm Bill Holden. Now, who are you?
She hadn't told you she had a daughter? I'm her daughter.
Oh, wait a minute. Whose daughter?
I am the daughter of Nancy Smith. Does that mean anything to you?
Oh, yes. Well, you're almost as charming as your mother. Won't you come in and have a drink? I mean, lemonade?
No, thank you. This is a situation that calls for clear heads. Mr. Holden, we have to be adult about this.
All right, I'm game for anything once. Now, how do we start?
Mr. Holden, if your mother was in love with another man and you were the child that would get twisted, what would you do?
Maybe we'd better have a lemonade.
Well, I mean, this child loves her mother and her father both. But there's another man coming between them.
Now, look, I'm afraid I've lost you. Maybe if we don't be quite so adult about this, we'll understand each other better.
And this man is a married man himself. Probably even his wife doesn't know about this. Doesn't that make this man a heel?
Well, he sounds like a heel to me.
I see, Mr. Holden, that we understand each other.
Well, that's good. Now, do you want a lemonade?
Whose bicycle is that?
Well, that's my daughter's bicycle.
You have a daughter? You should be ashamed of yourself.
Well, I have three children.
You ought to be even more ashamed of yourself.
Well, say, you know, you're a peculiar child. What's your father like?
It's about time you ask about my father. He's honest and straightforward and dependable and cheerful with a violent temper.
Well, Nancy didn't tell me about that. That's going to make things difficult.
If I were you, I'd forget the whole thing and stay home where I belong.
Oh, I can't do that. I promised your mother I'd come over tonight.
Oh, no. Papa's going to be home tonight.
That's why I'm coming over, to explain everything.
Oh, I got to admit one thing. You're brave.
Now, why should your father get all upset by a little thing like this? It could happen to anybody.
Wow, you are brave, but you're still a heel.
Well, I'm sorry you feel that way. But look, since we're both going over to your house, would you like to play here this afternoon and ride back to your house in my car later?
No, thank you.
Oh, don't trust me, huh? Well, I can't say that I blame you after what happened to your mother yesterday.
Mr. Mr. Holden, even when you're being adult, there are some things one just doesn't talk about. Goodbye.
Nancy, darling. Oh, hello, Bumps.
Hello, Father.
Hello, Father. Well, listen to Daughter. Where's your mother?
I think Mother's in her room dressing up.
Dressing up for what?
Father, Mr. Holden is coming over tonight. Doesn't that say anything to you?
Mm-hmm. It says that Mr. Holden is coming over. Why is he coming over?
Poor Father. I want you to know that I think you're a wonderful father.
Well, thank you, Bumps. Gosh, with company coming in, guess we'll be having cocktails, huh? That is, if Uncle Cecil has left us anything. Uncle Cecil! Uncle Cecil!
Yes, William?
Where are the martini making?
Oh, they're up in my room. I'll go and get them for you.
And furthermore, Father, I like you much better than I do Mr. Holden, even if he is a movie star.
Well, that's not... Wait a minute. I don't know Bill Holden. I didn't know anyone around here knew him.
Poor Father.
What is this poor father routine? What is that for?
You are a nice man. So trusting and innocent. I can see why Mother didn't have the heart to tell you.
Oh, Bumps, honestly, sometimes you're as baffling as your mother. Was that the doorbell?
Well, I think I'd better answer
it. No, I'll get it. Cecil, hurry up with the martini making.
Oh, hello. I'm Bill Holden.
Oh, I'm Bill Smith. We've been expecting you. Come on in.
Thanks, I will.
I was just about to stir up a cocktail. Can I drop your name in?
Oh, fine, fine. Good. Nice place you have here.
Well, here's the making, William. Nothing like a good drink for an occasion like this. Nancy will be down in a moment.
All right, I'll tend to the cocktails. Oh, Uncle Cecil, have you met Bill Holden?
How do you do?
Hello.
Well, I'll finish making up these martinis. Get Uncle Cecil to tell you about his tiger hunting in India, Bill.
Well, Nancy didn't tell me I was going to have to sit through anything like that.
Oh, I see you have Uncle Cecil's number. Well, excuse me, I'll be right back.
I've got the ice cubes ready, Father.
Oh, fine.
Ordinarily, I frown on drinking, but I guess you'll need a drink tonight.
I'll need a drink. Bumps, listen, will you quit playing Ring Around the Rosie and tell me what's bothering you?
How did you like him, Father?
Like who?
He does have charm, and he's good-looking, and he is a movie star. I suppose a certain type of woman would go for him, but I didn't suspect Mother.
Why should you?
Well, I might as well tell you, Father. You're being a blind, blind fool. Don't you know what's been going on behind your back?
Oh, Bumps, what are you trying to say?
Mother is going to leave you for Mr. Holden.
Oh, what?
That's why he's here. He and Mother decide to make a clean breast of everything to you.
Oh, no more B pictures for you, young lady. Here, help me pick up this glass.
Father, putting ground glass in his drink is a cowardly way.
Bumps, will you stop that? Your mother and I are the happiest couple in Hollywood.
Don't lull yourself into false security. Remember the scene at breakfast this morning?
Oh, Bumps, now that's a lot of utter nonsense. Wait a minute. She said something about my not prying into her affairs, didn't she? Said I was not walking enough. I was getting fat.
Oh, don't blame Mother too much. I'm sure it's glandular.
All the... Now stop it, Bumps. The whole thing is ridiculous. Come on, give me those ice cubes.
Father, I can see you refuse to accept facts.
Now, Bumps.
If you don't believe me, ask Mother when she comes downstairs.
Oh, nonsense.
Oh, Mr. Holden, it was certainly nice of you to come over. If I told Bill right away, you know, none of this would have happened.
Oh, it's all right. Some men are touchier than others about such things.
What a philosopher!
Well, here are four glasses of health. Everybody ready for a cocktail?
We certainly are. Set the tray here by me, William.
Yes. Here you are, Nancy, and here's one for you, Mr. Holden.
Thank you.
What a nice drink, darling.
Oh.
Darling, Mr. Holden has something to tell you, and I hope you won't be too upset.
Well, yes. Yes, you see, I may as well say it straight and get it over with.
I should have told you before, Bill, but you know how you are about these things.
Well, it was really my fault, you see. It's like this.
Nancy, then it's true?
Well, yes, darling, didn't you know? Oh, yes, it is true.
Well, don't look so stricken, Bill. This isn't the first time anything like this has happened in Los Angeles. After all, it was just an accident. I lost control.
Nancy, how could you do this to me?
Well, I'm trying to tell you that she couldn't help herself.
I say, what conceit!
Well, Mr. Holden, I hope you realize I've had 12 lovely years with her.
Oh, really? Well, you must have treated her well. Of course, they last a lot longer if you take regular care of them.
Yes, I suppose you're right. And we've seen a lot of things together. Of course, we got bumps out of it.
Well, you'd never know it by looking at her. Anyway, after 12 years, it ought to be time to trade in for a new one, if you can get one. You know, they're pretty hard to get these days.
I say, what a philosopher.
But of course, they're making them a lot faster these days.
I say, what the philosopher?
Well, I don't know what, I suppose, I'm afraid I'm spoiled. But you can take it from me, there'll never be another like her.
Oh, I had one I felt that way about once. But I forgot all about her when I got a new one.
You did? Well, I guess there's nothing more I can say. Take her.
Take her? Oh, I don't want the old thing.
What?
Oh, I've got two of my own.
You got two of them?
Yeah. Yeah, I just got a new one the other day. A streamlined job with a maroon body.
Two? And one with a maroon body?
Yeah, you see, one for town and one for country. I don't know what I'd do with a third one, unless for formal occasions.
Oh! That's enough. Mr. Holden, stand up.
Well, now, wait a minute. Take it easy.
You heard me. Stand up so I can knock you down.
Careful, Father. He played Golden Boy.
Oh, you keep quiet. Come on, get up. Get up and fight.
Bill Smith, what on earth gotten into you?
Gotten into me? What are you talking? He not only takes my wife, he comes into my own house and insults me. Wants my wife for formal occasions.
Your wife? Your wife? I came here to apologize for running into your car.
Oh, you...
Of course.
Huh?
He tore off two fenders. Where did you get this idea?
Bumps told me. Where is Bumps? Bumps?
Bumps is on her way upstairs to do her homework.
Ooh, what a warped mind that child has.
The car? That explains that crazy business about the car keys.
Oh, I think it's dreadfully funny. Oh.
I need a drink.
So do I.
Uncle Cecil. Hey, Uncle Cecil, where are the drinks?
Well, I'm awfully sorry, William, but in the excitement, I seem to have finished the cocktail.
Oh, no!
And now for a word from our sponsor. Nancy have gone to bed and all is peaceful at the Smiths, at least until next week. The Smiths of Hollywood, starring Arthur Treacher, Brenda Marshall, Harry Von Zell, and Jan Ford, with original music scored and conducted by Charles Hathaway, is written by Dick Nosserman, directed by Robert Presnell Jr., and produced by Andrew Hickox. Bill Holden, our guest star, appeared through the courtesy of Paramount Pictures. And now, this is Tyler McVeigh, the man of all work, bidding you all good night.
Listening to the Old Time Radio Hour broadcast each week over the World Wide Web with your host, Justine Ward. Next, we have The Smiths of Hollywood with guest star Ann Sheridan. In this episode, Uncle Cecil, played by Arthur Treacher, tries to win $1,000 by recognizing Ann Sheridan in disguise. This is The Smiths of Hollywood, first broadcast June 22, 1947, on WOR in New York.
From Hollywood, California, we bring you The Smiths of Hollywood. Greetings from The Smiths, ladies and gentlemen, played as usual by Jan Ford as daughter Bumps.
Mom, if Uncle Cecil is a knight, what does that make me?
Brenda Marshall as Nancy Smith.
I suppose you'd be a knighty, Bumps.
Harry Von Zell as Bill Smith.
Now listen, don't be taken in by a title, Bumps. After all, many of our ancestors came over on the Mayflower.
It's a good thing they did too, William. The immigration laws are much stricter nowadays.
And that was Arthur Treacher as Uncle Cecil visiting from England. And around here somewhere is Ann Sheridan. Wait a minute, Ann Sheridan? Yes, that's what it says, but that's no way to introduce her. It should be... And a special guest, Ann Sheridan. There, that's better. Now, on with the show. Oh, yes, I almost forgot. With us, too, is Charles Hathaway and the Tone Deaf Ten, who furnished the musical interludes. Oh, yes, the sponsor is also with us. Listen. Take care of everybody. For late arrivals, let me say that this is the Smiths of Hollywood program. And now, here's Nancy Smith to start us off.
Hi, everybody. You know, there's still a lot of things that fascinate me about my husband. Some of them a little less now than a few years ago. But then a girl can't go about being fascinated forever, I guess. Anyway, even after all these years, one of the things about Bill that never fails to fascinate me is the production he makes out of getting up in the morning. The first time I ever heard that, on our honeymoon it was, I thought Bill was strangling. But no, he was just gargling. The shower came next.
I love life and I won't give. Drink of my sunshine, take all.
That's the warm part of the shower. Bill always ends with a cold shower. He thinks of Bill's character. And that's character. It's only after all this that he turns on his mind and brings together the parts of himself that got scattered in sleep. Then I find out what's going on for the day.
Got big things to do today, Nancy. Have to hurry down and get the morning paper before Uncle Cecil scrounges it and see if that publicity story on the cancer fund got written up.
That's another thing about Bill. He always thinks he's told me everything. What publicity story, darling?
You know, I told you about it. Ann Sheridan?
Ann Sheridan?
Yeah?
No, you didn't tell me.
Yeah?
What about her?
Yeah, I told you. I thought I told you. I did tell you. Didn't I?
No, dear.
No. Well, We cooked up a deal with Ann Sheridan. Listen, she's going to spend the day roaming around the town, going to restaurants, stores, and places, and whoever recognizes her first gets a $1,000 prize.
Well, that sounds easy.
Huh?
Anybody could recognize Ann Sheridan.
Ah, that's true. But you have to have a receipt from the cancer drive for $5 or more before you can get in on the contest.
Let's go have some coffee, darling.
No, wait a minute, sweet. Don't you get it? Thousands of people will spend their whole day looking for Ann Sheridan. And they'll all contribute $5 or more to the cancer drive in order to be eligible for the $1,000 prize. You see what that means? If 3,000 people, for instance, join the search, that'll mean $15,000 at least to the cancer drive, you see?
Well, it's brilliant, darling.
Sure.
But for one thing, Ann Sheridan will be mobbed the second she appears.
No, well, I told you. No, I didn't. I didn't tell you. She'll be in a disguise. You see? She won't look like Ann Sheridan at all.
Well, there's the missing link. Thank
there,
you, dear.
Yeah.
Now it makes sense. How is she going to be disguised?
She's going to... Oh, no. I can't tell you now. Can't tell anybody. It's a state secret.
Wait till Uncle Cecil hears about this. He'll say, with my Scotland Yard training, I'll find out instantly.
Yeah. Yeah, have you ever noticed the way his ears perk forward and his nose comes to a point when somebody mentions money? Yes, sir, Nancy. I'll bet the first thing he does at breakfast this morning is try to pump me about how Ann Sheridan will be disguised. Well, let's go have that coffee, huh?
Uncle Cecil, can I have part of the paper while we're waiting for breakfast?
One moment, child. I'll give you the funny section in a thrice. There's something here that interests me deeply. $1,000.
I don't want the funnies, Uncle Cecil. You can have them. I want the editorial section.
Oh, nonsense. Nobody reads editorials. Quiet, child. This is of vast importance. $1,000, yes.
Uncle Cecil, your ears are perking forward and your nose is coming to a point.
Bumps! It occurs to me often that your parents had hardly any children at all. Why don't you go and bounce a ball or something? Ah, good morning, William.
Good morning.
You're looking extraordinarily well this morning.
Oh, is that so? Well, Nancy, why didn't you tell me I was looking extraordinarily well?
I'm not about to ask you a favor, dear. You look just the same to me.
Yes, and in case Pop says no, Uncle Cecil, you may as well know I'm looking the same as usual, too. Or, no, I won't lend you any money from my piggy bank.
I say, what a vile, suspicious attitude. I merely said, William, you're looking extraordinarily well, and instantly I'm attacked on all sides, too.
Well, now, just a minute. You mean to say, Uncle Cecil, that you don't want anything?
Of course not, William. What sort of a bounder do you take me for?
No money?
Positively not.
He wants to borrow the car.
Oh, quiet, you little gargoyle. I do not want to borrow the car.
Well, I guess we have misjudged you, Uncle Cecil. Please forgive us. And thank you for saying that I look well.
Oh, it's quite all right, quite all right. I say, William.
Here it comes, Pop.
Would you pass the toast, please? Fooled you, didn't I, you little witch?
Bumps, you'll be late for school. Now stop teasing Uncle Cecil and hurry up.
Yes, go on to school, child, though I really don't see any point in it for you.
Has anyone seen the morning paper? I want to see if that publicity story about Ann Sheridan got printed.
Oh, that reminds me, William. You being on the cancer drive committee, my boy, you come to think of it, there is something I'd like to ask you. I wonder, is it possible, do you think it's likely...
No, Uncle Cecil, I doubt it.
Oh, you do, eh? Really? Well, fact is, I haven't asked you anything yet, have I?
No, but it's coming.
I say, you people reading my mind, just exactly what are you expecting me to ask?
Oh, that's easy, Uncle Cecil. You're going to ask Bill if he knows what sort of a disguise Ann Sheridan will be wearing today.
Now, what would I ask him that for?
So you could go out and find her and collect $1,000.
Nancy, that hurts me, you know, to the quick. What a grasping, rascally scoundrel you must think me.
Poor Uncle Cecil.
Exactly. Precisely.
Yes. You mean to say that you don't want to know what disguise Miss Sheridan is wearing, Uncle Cecil?
William, it's obvious. A pretty girl like that would go to the other extreme. dressed like a spinster, of course, or a bobby sock, perhaps, huh?
Well, no, not exactly.
Or some East Indian Maharanee, or perhaps a French Apache dancer, right?
No, no, I couldn't say that.
Blackface. That's it, blackface.
Oh, of course not.
Well, dark glasses, coat collar turned up, soft hat over the eyes, slouching
no, walk. No, no, you're ice cold.
I say, William, just for the sake of curiosity, how will she be disguised?
There it is. I knew it was coming.
So did I.
William!
Now, listen here. I thought you were hurt to the quick, you grasping, rascally scoundrel, you, as you so aptly put it. Listen, Uncle Cecil, you really think I'd cheat all those people and tip you off about Ann Sheridan's disguise, let you romp off with $1,000?
William, you recall my saying you looked extraordinarily well this morning?
I do, yes.
I've changed my mind. You look positively repulsive. Well, I'll see you all later. I suppose I'll have to put out $5. Well, it's worth the gamble.
There you are. You see how it works, Nancy? There's $5 for the cancer drive already.
Yes, I'll have that $1,000 by evening. With my Scotland Yard trailing, I can't fail. Tell you.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, if this radio show is like all the others, Uncle Cecil will find Ann Sheridan, collect $1,000, marry Ann Sheridan, and settle down to growing grapefruit and guavas on a ranch in San Fernando Valley. I frankly don't know. But I do know this show is like others in that it has a sponsor. And what you know, here he is. Gentlemen, was the part of radio that is never censored. Now, on with the Smiths of Hollywood, and particularly, Uncle Cecil.
Hey, what are you doing? I let go of my hat. Help!
My dear young lady, there's no reason to take that attitude. You know, quite frankly, if you aren't Ann Sheridan, I have no interest in you at all.
Oh, yeah, that's a hot one. Do I look like Ann Sheridan? Go on, you old senile delinquent, and try that stuff on somebody your own age. But did you see that? This jerk comes along and pulls off my hat and ogles me. I tell you, this town gets lonelier every day.
Yes, it certainly does, yes. Only it isn't the town, it's the whole world. Imagine me, Sir Cecil Smythe, running about the streets, peering into women's faces, all for the love of money. Confound money, anyway. Look what it does to a man. Degrading. Rot. Well, on with the search. Hello.
Hello.
I say, are you by any chance Ann Sheridan? You look familiar.
No. My name is Bergman. Ingrid Bergman.
Oh, I'm sorry. I say my mistake. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
You know, that makes an even 27 women I've stopped. Can't get that 1,000 this way. Bergman. Pretty girl, that. Ought to be in pictures herself.
I say, this Anne Sheridan must have muscles of iron walking around all this time. Don't think I can go it much longer without a bit of a pick-me-up. Well, 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 here I am at the Brown Derby Bar. Oh, fancy that. Yes. Well, perhaps Anne Sheridan's in here, too.
Hey, there she is. Say, hold up for me.
Here, who is, I say? I say, what's going on? Here, I say, boy, what's happening? Who's that girl everyone's running to, Anne Sheridan?
Anne Sheridan? Nah, you jerk, that's Lana Turner. Say, who are you? Are you anybody?
Certainly I'm somebody. What nonsense.
Well, who?
The Cecil Smythe, if you must know. Who are you?
Ah, yeah, nobody. Get out of my way. Hey, Miss Turner, sign my book, please.
I say, am I anybody? What little fiends. Why doesn't the Congressional Committee investigate children? You know, nothing could be more subversive than an autograph hound.
You said it, brother.
Oh, good Lord. Look at all those people chasing that Turner girl. She's absolutely besieged. It's fantastic. What in the world do they want with autographs anyway?
You got me. Weird, isn't it?
Oh, it's depressing, you know. I get to thinking about what I'd do if I were an actor and they mobbed me like that. Why, I'd probably trample them underfoot, the hideous little monsters.
Well, that's the nicest thing I've heard today. I feel exactly the same way. Shall we go trample some of them?
Oh, no. There'd be a fuss, you know. Some people dote on children. I can't think why. I say, allow me to introduce myself. I'm Sir Cecil Smythe.
Oh, how do you do? My name is Anne.
Oh, really? Well, that's a coincidence. The whole town's looking for a girl named Anne. Anne Sheridan. I say, you're not Anne Sheridan, are you?
Oh, what do you think?
Well, it's nice to hear someone laugh when I say that, you know. Most of these biddies I've asked turn on me as though I were a masher. I say, are you looking for her, too?
Oh, heavens no, there's no point in that. In fact, I'd be crazy if I looked for Anne Sheridan.
Well, as a matter of fact, the whole thing's crazy, as you say. People grubbing up and down the streets, making fools themselves to find the poor actress. Probably hates the whole thing anyway.
Oh, you're so right. So beautifully right.
I say, shall we go in this Derby place and have a spot of tea or whatever we need? I've been walking half the day and I'm quite run down.
Oh, so am I, Sir Cecil. Lead the way. A spot of what we need is just what I want. But, oh, look, I can't go into the Derby in blue jeans and my face all smudged this way. Let's go across the street to that little place.
All right, her, then I'll come along, yes. Yes, Anne, my dear, you're quite right. It's rather a shame that anything as important as a cancer drive has to be publicized by a mere actress before people will help each other. In fact, the streets are full of greedy, grasping people peering into each other's faces, hoping to get their hands on $1,000.
That's just what I said when they told me about this. I've been hoping some really nice guy would find... Oh, her.
Yes.
And, you know, someone who really needs the money.
Yes, of course. 1 out of 7, they say, will die of cancer, but the other 6 don't seem to care. You know, it's a frightful state of affairs, especially since none of us know whether we're the 7th or not.
You know... You're the type of person I hope will find her.
I am, I say. That's awfully nice of you. I think you'd be a good one to find her, too.
Oh, that'd be silly. You'd be much better.
On the contrary, my dear girl, I'd much rather see you find her.
No, I insist. It would make much more sense if you found her. You're just the type of man who's well enough off and human enough to make a noble gesture and turn the whole reward over to the cancer drive.
Oh, I am? You think so? Really, yes. Now that you mention it, I suppose I am. Yes, rather. Yes.
Well, of course. You're the kind of man who doesn't need money to prove yourself. You have a mind.
My dear girl, you are really quite charming. Yes, absolutely. Oh, absolutely charming. Please go on. You know, you talk such good sense, too.
Well, why don't you look for her? I'm sure she'd love it if you found her. I'm positive of it.
I say, how can you be positive? Do you know her?
Oh, yes. I see her every day.
Oh.
She'd be so relieved to stop walking around town, she'd probably kiss you.
Would she now? Oh.
Well, I'm sure of it. You know what Anne Sheridan looks like, don't you?
Oh, yes, quite, yes. I see her often. Oh, yes, I'd know her the minute I laid eyes on her.
Oh, a tallish sort, you know, well formed and all that.
Red hair, something like mine, and hazel eyes, like mine.
Oh, yes, of course. Oh, I'd know her instantly.
Oh, about my height?
Yes, well, perhaps I will look for her, since you seem to think I'm the sort of fella she'd like to have find her. Yes, I might give a look around on the way home. Yes. I say, any idea where she might be or how she might be dressed?
Oh, she might be anywhere. Maybe around here someplace. She's making a Western picture, so she'll probably be dressed in blue jeans.
Blue jeans? What are they?
Well, like I'm wearing.
Oh, I say, thank you. Yes, that's all I need to know. Yes. As I say, I'll give a look about on the way home. Oh, my, it's getting late. Perhaps I'd better be on the way now.
Well, me too. Let's go. By the way, where do you think you'll look for Anne Sheridan?
Well, I haven't the faintest idea, old girl, you know, but armed with your information, I've no doubt I'll come across her. Luck of the Smythes, you know.
Luck of the Smythes, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to know something, Sir Cecil?
Yes, by all means.
I have a feeling you could sit and talk to Anne Sheridan face to face and you'd never know the difference.
Oh, that's hardly likely. As a matter of fact, there's Scotland Yard training behind me.
No? Really? Evidently quite a way behind you.
After you, dear. As a matter of fact, even if I didn't know what she looked like, I could find her within the hour just by using the old bean, you know. Training, you know. Well, I must be off. Pip, 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 an old girl. It's been a pleasure.
Pip, pip. Whatever that means. And if you find Anne Sheridan, say hello for me.
Oh, yes, of course. Yes, yes. Oh, by the way, you never tell me your last name.
Well, just tell her you talk to Anne. She'll know, I hope.
Right, old girl.
So long, Sir Cecil.
Da-da-da.
You poor jerk. Where is he? I wonder who's kidding whom.
So long, so long. I say, attractive looking girl, if she'd only dress up. Probably be quite an eyeful with her face washed. Well, on with the search. Never say die, excelsior and all that. Wonder if that girl told me the truth. Dressed in Western clothes, red hair, hazel eyes. I say, I wonder, is it possible? Which way did she go? Which way did she go?
Which way to who go, Mac?
That girl I was talking to, you know, the one wearing blue jodhpurs.
What's the matter? Is she rowing you?
No. That was Anne Sheridan, I'm sure of it.
Oh, you mean the one they're offering $1,000 for?
Yes, old boy, quickly. Now, which way did she go?
Well, she'd logically go up toward the boulevard.
Oh, yes, you're right. Thank you very much. Thank you.
But whoever heard of a woman being logical?
You! Hi, everybody. Hey, Nancy, is dinner ready? I'm starved.
Almost ready. Anybody find Anne Sheridan?
Yeah, finally. Poor kid nearly wore herself out, though, tramping all over town. The disguise was almost too good. But the drive was a wonderful success, Nancy. $18,000 they took in.
Oh, that's wonderful, Bill. Who found her?
The veteran. Wonderful. A guy who really needed the money.
Oh, I'm glad it was someone like that. You know, I was really afraid Uncle Cecil would find her. He was so determined.
You know, I had the same crazy feeling. He's just lucky enough to have bumped into her without trying, you know. And can you imagine how he'd lord it around if he won that money?
Oh, there'd be no living with him.
That's not a bad idea. Wait a minute. Here he comes now, I think. Let's see what kind of a story he'll make up about not finding Anne Sheridan. Uncle Cecil?
Yes, William?
That's you, huh?
Yes, it is. And if you have a shred of decency, you'll offer me a drink instantly. I've had a shock.
What happened?
The drink, William. The drink. My nerves are shaken.
Yeah, well, all right, Uncle Cecil. The bottle is in the usual place. Just help yourself.
Thank you. I've had a bad day, William. Mm-hmm.
Didn't find Anne Sheridan, huh?
I don't care how to discuss it, I find.
Now, Uncle Cecil, no day could be that bad.
You don't know.
Did you know a veteran found Anne Sheridan, Uncle Cecil?
I know all about it, Nancy.
Mission unaccomplished, huh, Uncle Scotland Yard Cecil?
What happened to the old brain work, Uncle Cecil?
William, as I said, I do not care to discuss it. There are times when a man has nothing to say. The fact is, I did find Ann Sheridan.
Did you hear that, Nancy?
Spent the better part of an hour talking with her.
Oh, please, come off it now. You don't give us that. You were out playing Sherlock Holmes, and that's about all.
When I tell whoppers like that, I get sent to bed without any supper.
You keep out of this, you ugly little growth. As a matter of fact, I didn't expect anyone to believe me anyway.
We'll believe you if you show us $1,000.
Don't mention the word money. I hate the sound of it. William, are they making bottles smaller these days?
Now, look here, Uncle Cecil. That bottle was full this morning.
William, a man has to put something on his cornflakes. They're so dry.
Oh, fine. Cornflakes, yes. Oh, excuse me a minute. Hello?
Hello. Bill.
Yeah?
Annie.
Oh, hello, Annie. How do you feel?
Oh, I bet I've walked 20 miles. I'm dead.
Oh.
Bill, what time do we have to make those pictures for the newspapers tomorrow? I want to sleep late.
Oh, well, any time. Is afternoon all right?
Oh, sure, fine. You know, Bill, I might still be out there walking up and down if it hadn't been for some nice English gent who bought me a cup of coffee.
Oh, really?
And there's still some good people in the world. He did the nicest thing. He pretended he didn't know me. And when he left, he tipped off a veteran who was really in need.
Oh.
Poor guy's been living with a wife and two kids in a garage in the valley.
Say, now, wasn't that a nice thing to do? Did you get the fellow's name?
Yeah, Smythe. Sir Cecil Smythe, I think that was it. Hello? Hey, Bill. Bill, what's going... Hello?
Oh, hello. Nothing happened. I dropped the phone. Well, tomorrow, yes. I'll pick you up tomorrow for the pictures, Annie. Have a good night's sleep.
Okay, thanks. So long.
Bye. Well, Uncle Cecil, is there anything left in that scotch bottle? I've just had a shock.
Well, what's the matter, darling?
That was Ann Sheridan, Nancy. Uncle Cecil did spend the afternoon with Ann Sheridan.
Someday you'll learn to believe me.
And, Nancy, Uncle Cecil tipped off that veteran about Annie.
You mean he gave up the chance to win $1,000? Give me that bottle. I just had a shock.
Bumps.
Uncle Cecil, may I shake your hand?
Oh, you don't need to, William. Can't you see my hands are shaking by themselves?
Uncle Cease, what a hero.
What a hero is right.
Oh, I'm proud of you.
I wish I could say the same for myself. No more praise, please. It makes me even more miserable.
Just, look, I don't mean to be small in your moment of glory, Uncle Cecil, but I just remembered that, contest wasn't open to anyone connected with the fund committee or their families.
What?
Forgot to mention it this morning, but, you probably read that in the paper, and that's why you were so big-hearted.
You mean I wasn't eligible for the prize anyway?
That's what I thought I said, yes.
Well, 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 then I'm not a fool. I mean, I didn't lose. I say, I feel wonderful. Let's have a celebration.
You did know about the rule, then?
No, William, no. I just thought that the veteran chap needed the money more than I did. What a noble fellow I am, yes. True blue and heart of gold and all that sort of thing. There ought to be more like me.
There are. There are 10 more like you. I just heard about them.
Now, what are you going on about, Bunce?
A poem I heard, Sir Cecil. 10 nights in a bar room.
Ooh, what a vile child.
Now for a word from the management. But don't go away. We'll be back later.
Thank you.
was written by Dick Nasserman and Robert Presnell, Jr., who also directed. It was produced by Andrew Hickox, and the music was composed and conducted by Charles Hathaway. In tonight's cast was Brenda Marshall, Harry Von Zell, Jan Ford, Arthur Treacher, and our special guest star was Ann Sheridan, who appeared through the courtesy of Warner Brothers. Also in the cast was Conrad Binion and Lois Corbett, who played the part of Ingrid Bergman. And this is Tyler McVeigh, the handyman, saying cheerio until next time.
You have been listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web. You can subscribe at no charge through Apple Podcasts, Podbean, or RSS. And we're now on YouTube. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you can join us again next week for another hour of entertainment from the golden age of radio. Until then, this is your host, Justine Ward, saying, so long for a while.